Let's turn over to Romans 1:18 this morning. Romans 1:18. I want to talk about being thankful this morning and not complaining, not grumbling. I'll go at it from a little bit different angle this morning. Romans 1:18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being made or being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." You know, this is, you know, talking about how people, that although God's attributes are can be clearly seen, that there is a God. Anybody can see that there's a God. That this just all didn't happen. That the design of the human body, the design of things, all that it is clearly seen that there is a God. It says in verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of his world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." See, that God is clearly manifest in the world, that there is a God. There is a God that created us. But it says in verse 21, or back up, that in the last part of verse 20, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful." See, and I want to go on this line this morning. See, there are many people in the world today, especially today, even though it's obvious there's a God, it's clear that there's a God, people are choosing to not to go away from that, and basically they won't glorify him as God. They go away. And part of that, it says that nor were they thankful. They weren't thankful to God. They didn't glorify God as God. Be thankful to God for what they have been created, that God Almighty has given them life. But instead, they didn't glorify him as God and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And you see a lot of this today. People think they are so educated and smart, and I'm not against education at all. But it is in the context of acknowledging that there is a God. When we don't acknowledge there's a God and that he is the creator and that, you know, I'm going to do whatever you have called me to do, God, and that may involve all, you know, education, but with the backdrop that he's the one that created it, and education that we have, any knowledge we have, is a thimble compared to the oceans that God has, and that we'll never understand everything that he understands, that he's the creator, that he's the one that has done it all. But you see so much of that where people are, you know, stand up and say, there's no God, or, you know, God isn't, they start defining what God is for and what he's against, and they're basically doing exactly what this says, that the professing to be wise, they became fools. This isn't really the direction I'm going, but I'm just, you know, this is here. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So people, they won't glorify God, but look at how it's tied together. And I really believe it is tied together. You look throughout the Bible. People that won't glorify God, you start going this way. Grumbling, complaining, something got in there. Something got into their life where they became cynical, mad, something in their life turned them away from God to where they don't acknowledge Him. They won't glorify Him anymore. They're not thankful anymore. And they start going down this path. And when you do that, when you don't glorify God, when you turn away from Him, you're not thankful, you start looking to yourself, start looking to, you know, your methods and what, just the natural part and everything, I believe something happens. You turn away from the Creator, the one that gives life. All life is supposed to be lived in context of knowing Him. It's like an option today. You can live with God or you can live without God. It's your choice. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? It's all up to your beliefs. This is not true. There is a God, and we were created to know Him, to live life with Him. There is no option. People can say there's options all they want, but there isn't any option. There is a God, and He has created us, and anything we do is in the backdrop of knowing Him. And see, people have been doing this for all time. Wasn't too long after, you know, Adam was created that his descendants started splitting. The people that acknowledged God, the people that went off their own, started worshiping the creation rather than the creature and just split. It's been going on ever since. But I want you to know is the thing I want to focus on is that part of that, they weren't thankful. And I'm telling you, when we're not thankful in our life, we give place to the devil. Because we, instead of looking to God and that God is faithful in all our circumstances, we choose to not be thankful to Him. We don't glorify God. We have to take our eyes off God and start grumbling, complaining, looking at something else. And that's the slope over here. Now, I'm not saying we're going to end up like these people, but I believe it's connected. I mean, you look at throughout, God does not like grumbling and complaining and not being thankful and just it basically you have to take your eyes off Him. And you know, you see it throughout the Bible. But these people in particular, because although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him, nor were they thankful but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they wouldn't glorify God, they weren't thankful, and their hearts were darkened. And you don't have to, just common sense, you know. When you get in a negative mood, a foul mood, you start complaining, you start not acknowledging God and the things that are good, you start going down a different path. Your mind, you don't operate as well, you don't sleep as well, you don't get along with people as well. Everything, it just opens up darkness. But I tell you what, when we'll just choose to be thankful, when we choose to glorify God as a Creator as He is, we may not understand everything in the world. We don't. Brother Hagin used to say, he said, I learned early in my life to let the secret things belong to God. We don't know everything. And we don't know everything that happens. That doesn't mean, you know, what will be. But we don't have all the answers for things. And if we'll just stay on God's side, no matter what is going on in our life, say, God, You are the Creator. You know, I believe that Jesus has paid the price for my sins, so I am Your child. And Lord, I know that You have good things for me regardless of what I see, feel, taste, touch, whatever. There are good things, and You are a good God. And regardless of what I've seen or anything, I still choose to stay on Your side, to glorify You as the Creator, to be thankful for what I do have, and not be thankful and not go on the line of things that, you know, start going down that other track. Because I guarantee you, you know it, is there anybody in this room that has, if you wanted to, has nothing that they could complain about? Is there anybody that absolutely, if you wanted to, you couldn't complain about everything because anything because everything's perfect? If you're a human being, I mean, either you're just completely ignorant. I mean, you may, like, say ignorance is bliss. You know, maybe, you know, you get some young kid in here. They could maybe get they could be duped into thinking everything, they don't have anything to complain about. But every one of us, if we wanted to, we could find something to complain about. Something. Even this morning, I guarantee you could find something. You could probably find 10. You could probably find a lot. You could probably find 20 things that you could if you wanted to, you could complain about it. You could. But I bet you everybody in here, I know for a fact, everybody in here has something you could be thankful for as well. And as the same thing, some people, you could get somebody and say, I don't have anything to be thankful for. You're deceived again. You're ignorant. You don't even know what's in the world if you believe that. And you're living in this country. Anybody who stepped foot out of the country into any kind of a lower level society, you know for a fact that you have it good. You may not want to focus on that. We may want to focus on the fact that we don't have what somebody else has or what we see on TV or something and start lusting after that and coveting it or whatever. You can use those biblical words, but the fact is we just choose to say, oh, I know I have all this, but I want that, and then I want that. But we could also choose to look at everything we do have and the fact that, man, we are healthy. And even if there's something in our body that isn't perfect, that, you know, have you ever been on your back sick? Of course you have, probably if you live. I mean, where you just were really sick, you had vomiting or whatever. When you get to be healthy, I'm telling you, just being able to do the normal things of life is just great. Man, I can get up and I don't feel like, you know, throwing up when I stand up. Boy, I can eat and I feel like I don't have to, it has to come right back up. Boy, this is great. And just the normal thing that you took for granted a little bit ago is great now. And every one of us has that in our lives. And God has blessed each one of us so much. If we can't find anything in the natural, we have Jesus. And we've trusted Him. And we are going to spend eternity in heaven. And we can look to that and say, God, I'm thankful for Jesus. But there is a tendency for us to, you know, we wouldn't say it's as extreme as what I just read, but there's a tendency for us to take our eyes off God and willingly, even, you know, every one of us has heard a message, you know, about being thankful or whatever. Every one of us has heard that, but there comes a decision time, you know, where something's happening and we say, I know I should be thankful. I know I have it all right, but I don't care. I just want to let loose and complain. We have a choice, and it takes an act of our will and discipline to say, no, I'm not going to do that, just like everything, just like exercising or whatever. We just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to be thankful, and glorify God in spite of the fact that right now, man, I could find 10 reasons, 10 things to complain about. And that, I believe, is a perpetual, it's a fight we'll have to fight the rest of our life, because we have the world system, we have our flesh. There will always be something that we can turn our mind towards the wrong thing if we want to. But there is always something that we can turn our minds to the right thing and be thankful as well. Period. Always. There is always something that we can look to God. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Actually, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, without faith it's impossible to believe Him. To believe things that you can't see, that you can't touch, that you can't feel. To believe God. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. See, He's not pleased. God is not, and I'm not, you know, just bear with me. This isn't to condemn any of us. I'm preaching to myself just as much as you, because we're all in the same boat. This isn't to condemn us, because we live in a covenant under grace, under the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change the fact that God is not pleased when we go and complain and don't show faith in Him. And not to say that He's mad at us or angry. Just like Shelley was saying earlier, you know, we are under a covenant of grace. But because we're under a covenant of grace, we don't want to go and just because I'm under a covenant of grace, I'm not going to go rob a bank, because there might be consequences. I don't want to do things that I know that is really the wrong way to go, that we just read, you know, people that aren't thankful, don't glorify God, and you end up over here. Why would I want to do that when God has given me a covenant? So we're not going and saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, God's judgment has fallen on Jesus. So we're not saying that, we're not condemning any of us. But on the other hand, not having faith and complaining, I believe, is just a stench in God's nostrils, just because we have so much to be thankful for. And when we just focus on the positive, then we won't go over there and we don't have to try to work anything up. We just focus on what's positive. But he says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, sometimes it doesn't look like that in your life. Sometimes, you know, you don't want, you say you believe in God, but really, by our attitudes and the way what's coming out of our mouth, we're acting like, well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to believe in God. I know, you know, all these things, but I don't see Him in this situation, or I don't see Him in this circumstance. And it's tempting just to go down and look at that instead of keeping, staying in faith, looking at Him, you know, looking at God and say, God, I believe, regardless of what I say, regardless of what I see. I believe You. I believe, Lord, that You are. That You are the true God. I choose to believe that You're working in my life. I choose to believe that, God, You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, seek You. I'm just going to continue on the path of believing You, of thanking You, of just looking to You instead of going off and going into a corner, going down and taking my mind off You. Let's turn over to Psalm 100. We have a choice. We have a choice to glorify Him this week. You know, we set aside this time to celebrate what we've been blessed with and to thank God. But this is really every day. The more we make it a practice every day just to look to Him, just to count our blessings, as the saying goes. Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. And just reading that, that does something on the inside. It's focusing on the goodness and the mercy of God. But see what it says. It doesn't say come in, complain about everything that is going wrong in your life, or pick this out, or be cynical about this, or whatever. It says make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He's God. Know that the Lord, He is God. See, you know, there's this thing in society where it is, with certain segments of it, that it's almost like, well, if you're naive if you believe that. You're naive if you just believe on God and trust in God no matter what. You know, that's stupid. That's somebody that is backwards or whatever. There is that sentiment. Make no mistake. That has been portrayed on TV and different things, trying to push it away and push and make it look simplistic to believe in the Lord God. And that, I mean, seriously, if you're positive all the time and upbeat, you just don't know life. Because you can't live that way. And you're just ignorant, or you're naive, or, you know, you just don't know all the facts, and so you should be down because that's how, you know, intelligent people. There is that sentiment. That's wrong. God Almighty, if we know Him, then we'll follow Him and do what His Word says and come in because we know God and we know that He is God, and that, like it says in verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. It's He, you know, I've been made by God Almighty. I've been created by Him. I didn't make myself. And so I choose to just be thankful to Him like He says over and over in His Word. We'll maybe read a few of those scriptures. Just to be thankful, to glorify Him, even though I want to be sarcastic or cynical. I mean, yeah, I know how prevalent that is now. Kids, you got teenagers. I mean, they just smart and just talk back. It's just portrayed on TV and different things as that's the way to go. Nothing is real. Nothing's genuine. Everything is to be made fun of. Be cynical. That's the way people think. Nah, that's not real, man. If you can't really be happy all the time. You can't really be thanking God. You're just covering it up. It's fake. Doesn't have to be fake. We can do that. We can cover it up. Act like there's nothing, everything's hunky-dory when it isn't. But then there is true faith where we choose to glorify God, even though, yeah, we could let our mouths rip and go and complain about everything or complain and be cynical. Yeah, every one of us could do that. We could all go around the room and be cynical and whine and complain and make fun of this person and make fun of that and all that. Or we could choose to glorify God. And that's not naive. That's actually God's wisdom. When you truly know our God and look to Him and choose to do what He says to do in spite of the fact that your circumstances don't look at it, you are actually, you're not acting dumb, you're not acting naive, you're acting with complete wisdom because you are trusting the Most High God. He is God, and He created us, and we're choosing to glorify Him even in the midst of circumstances. Not that our life has to be falling apart, but like I said earlier, every one of us could find something to complain about. Probably wouldn't have to try real hard. But we can choose to be thankful, and choosing to be thankful and glorify Him is the righteous path. Now, we are made the righteousness of God through Christ, but we are walking in a path that God's saying, that pleases me, because it shows faith. Hope and despair. Do you ever see the movie Anne of Green Gables? Or read the book? It's a good movie. Anyway, it's like four. There's the first Anne of Green Gables is 4 hours long, and the second one's 4 hours long. It's like on PBS or something. You know, it's installments. But anyway, it's a good family movie. We watch that. Well, Anne's this spunky little... she's an orphan. She gets taken in by this old woman and man who were actually looking for a farmhand. They were looking for a boy, and they got sent a girl, and they end up kicking her in, and she's just really dramatic and really just, you know, overdoes things. And when she first came to live with them, they were going to send her back. And she comes in, and, I mean, the girl is probably undernourished and everything, and so they're going to eat. And Marilla, the lady, says what? Anne doesn't want to eat then after she finds out they're going to send her back. And Marilla says, what, you're not going to eat? And she goes, I can't eat. I'm in the depths of despair. And she's really dramatic about it. I'm in the depths of despair. And she goes, Marilla, can you eat when you're in the depths of despair? And Marilla says, I don't know. I've never been in the depths of despair. To despair is to turn your back on God. I mean, that's a secular movie, but that's a really good line. And that's stuck with me. Because you think about it. You cannot despair and go down that way and be down about everything, to be without hope, unless you turn your back on God. We don't look at it like that sometimes. We'll say, it's all right. I know God's over here. I know I believe Him. But for this little point of time, I'm just going to go down this path and take a little journey over here and, you know, complain and get all this negative stuff and just be over here, act like God's not true, and then I'll come back and be right where I was and act like God's back on the throne. Has anybody ever done that besides me? I'm the only one. But everybody is tempted to do that. And you know what? Now, if you just completely go off and act like there's no God, well, you know, every one of us is tempted to do that. It takes an act of will. Say, no, you know what? God, I'm choosing to glorify You in the middle of everything. I'm choosing to glorify You and be thankful for what I do have. Verse 3 that we just read, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let's turn over to Numbers 21 as a good example of what we do, or we're tempted to do, not in what we shouldn't do. Numbers 21, chapter 21, verse 1, says, the king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Theram. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if You will indeed deliver this people into My hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. So they just had a great victory. They called to God, said, hey, God, can You do this? Can You help us out? God listened to the voice of Israel and did what they said. They had a great victory. But then they keep going on. And it says in verse 4, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been at the place where you think, I'll never doubt God again? I'll never doubt His faithfulness again. I'll never doubt it. I've been, man, He's proved Himself faithful. I'm going through the rest of my life. I'll never entertain any thought. He's faithful. And then something else happens in your life and we behave just like this, or we're tempted to. It said, verse 4, then they journeyed a little ways to go around, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way, because stuff still wasn't going some way the way they wanted or whatever. So what did they do? They praised God and they thanked Him for all the good things. Nope, that's not what it says. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. See, against God and the person that's in front of them, Moses. It's your fault. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Remember, they complained they didn't have manna. Now they complain about the manna. They complain they didn't have, you know, bread, so now they have bread. Now they complain about that. Verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents. Now, when you read that, I'm not going to go in there. But, you know, you can't just judge all this stuff. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I've read different things. You know, you got to understand the way the Bible is in every area. As far as the way things are translated, and I'm not saying it's not translated, right? Like I said, that's for the people that have spent their whole life studying certain things. But there is, evidently, you know, in certain areas, even with people that have studied Hebrew, questions about just whether God actually did something or whether He allowed something to happen. Because and there is a difference. Okay, so, you know, there is people that disagree on that. So when you see that, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among him. See, it just doesn't make logical sense consistently throughout the Bible when you see certain things. If you think God, you know, is working for and against people. Now here, though, that you have to know that we live in a different covenant than these people. Bottom line is, you know, we were saying earlier today, if you want to know the will of God concerning healing, God never put sickness on anybody in the New Testament. He always healed. He went about doing good and healing. And see, and that was in the transition. That wasn't even in the New Covenant. That was in the transition between the two covenants. But God never did anything to kill anybody, you know, when he was in the, when people came to him for healing. Now you see certain judgment when people were flat out going against him. Herod, different things. But, see, Jesus had not died here. The judgment of God had not died, or had not fallen on Jesus. So there's a difference between what we're talking about concerning us and these people. But, at any rate, these fiery serpents came among the people. And if that's the judgment of God coming on these people because they just, you know, decided they're going to complain against Moses and Aaron, understand that they were under the old covenant and there was a set of do's and don'ts under the old covenant. You don't do this, not going to go well for you. There is going to be all these cursings that are coming on you. On the other hand, if you do everything perfect, there's going to be these blessings. The fact is, there was this all these conditions. The thing that we have to know is that Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. It took our place, so the judgment of God fell on him at the cross. And so we don't live under the old covenant anymore. I would not want to live under the old covenant, because I know if I do everything right, which I won't, there's blessings. But if I do something wrong, there's curses that can come on me. So these people were living under the old covenant. And they're not living perfectly, and they're dealing with some of the consequences. So in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses. So this is, I'll just say this. There's a difference between God protecting You know, whether it's the judgment of God or God's hand just covering these people like an umbrella. And then they take themselves out by not obeying, and he just lifts his hand. Those fiery serpents didn't show up from 1,000 miles away. They evidently were around there. They evidently were around that region, and all of a sudden, they're a problem. But they weren't a problem a little bit ago. Something was keeping them from being a problem. So, I'm just saying, when these people were living under the old covenant, and so they dealt with consequences of sinning. And the point is, we shouldn't be doing what these people say, and that's not the way to go. But verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So God made a way for them to get out of that situation. And that serpent is a type of Jesus on the cross, that when we look at Jesus, we can be healed of whatever we need. But that's not where I was going. So basically these people, which we read over and over in the Old Testament, they complained, they grumbled, they think God would do good things for them, and then they wouldn't believe God, and they'd go off and complain and be bitter again. And then they just go around in circles. But it is so easy for us to do the same thing in our life. That God does something, like I said, you get to the point and you say, God, you're faithful, I believe it. But then something else happens and you're saying, okay, God, where are you? And that is the temptation. We don't have to live like that. But that's the temptation. The Israelites are flesh and blood just like we are. And so we don't have to be like that. But that's one example where the Israelites did the wrong thing. They went out and complained and they paid a penalty. 1 Corinthians, you can just write it down. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So he's saying, he's given all these examples, and one of the things he talks about being destroyed by serpents and complaining, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. So that we can see, I mean, it is not God's will for us to do that ever. It is not God's will for us to go over and complain and to mess with anything. But on the other hand, we're in another covenant. But just because we're under another covenant and a new covenant, God, I don't believe, is still pleased with us that obviously going off and acting, even though we're under this new covenant, that we can still go over, complain, and act like he's not there and then come back. And then, you know, come back to him, then go over and complain and act like he's not there, and then come back to him. I mean, it's tempting to do that, but we don't have to live like that. We can choose just to stay on God's side, to be thankful under all circumstances, and just to choose to focus on the good things. Even if things aren't going perfectly, we can choose to focus on the things that are good, the things that are of good report. Over it, let's turn to Philippians 4:6, and we'll just close there. There are so many places where it talks about how the Israelites were complaining, and then there's so many places in the New Testament, which we won't get to today, where it just talks about being thankful, how we should be thankful, how we should be thankful in different areas. But it's so tempting sometimes to go on the wrong end and just grumble and complain. So Philippians 4, this is a familiar verse, but Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we may have stuff that we need to go to God in prayer about. Stuff that's in front of us. We don't say that we should just go and bear everything, and if there's something that is bad in our life, just to let it go, just to let it be there. Well, don't complain about it, you know, but don't do anything about it either. Bear up under anything. We're not saying that. We're saying if there's things that aren't right, aren't perfect, which, like we said, there are in our lives, we take them to God. And with thanksgiving, knowing that, God, you're the creator. Lord, you've done, you've created the heavens and the earth. You are my God. I didn't create myself. You created me. Lord God, you know what I'm going through. Lord, you've seen me before I ever was born. You saw me before I ever entered this earth. Lord God, you are all powerful. You are a good God. You're full of mercy. You're full of grace. You're full of love. Now, Lord, I have this problem in my life, this issue. Lord God, and we pray according to the word about it, deal with it. But we go in with thanksgiving. That's a whole lot different than just going off in a corner and grumbling, complaining, and acting like God is not God, acting like he's not with us, acting like he doesn't see us, acting like he didn't know it was there, and then going over and wallowing and complaining in our corner for a while and staying over here and then finally coming back. We can go along these things, come at these issues of life, just knowing that I'm under the shadow of the Almighty God, that he is the God. I glorify him as God. Lord, I acknowledge you as God. And Lord, now there's this thing. It's a whole lot different. But it's just being thankful and just staying on. It really comes down to just staying on God's side at all times. Just staying on his side, staying over where we know, just staying on his side, doing what he said to do, even when it doesn't look good, not giving in to the grumbling and complaining, going down and turning our back on God, but just staying in line with him, staying in line with his word, and just enjoying his presence no matter what. Amen. Thank God.